All right, so I just want to quickly, I'm not going to spend time on these verses, but I just want to kind of give you, at the very beginning of this, this idea that the Holy Spirit is a person. You know, sometimes when you think of the Holy Spirit, people might think that it's a power or it's a force, like the force be with you. We think of this, the Holy Spirit, sort of like that. There's this force that moves around in the world today, but the Bible actually shows that He is a person. It's actually the third person of the Trinity. We often think of the Father, and you maybe even in your mind picture what the Father looks like, or maybe you think of the Son and you think of what Jesus might look like. But what do you think of when you think of the Holy Spirit? We think of a flame, or we think of a dove, or we think of a wind. But He's really a person. No different than Jesus is a person. No different than you're a person. And so these scriptures kind of bear that out. And these are just a few. There's many more in the Bible about this. But it's like this one in 1 Corinthians 2 just shows that He has knowledge. It says, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. You know, a force can't comprehend the thoughts of God. It's a person. It tells us in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How do you grieve a force? How do you grieve an it? But you can grieve a person. You know, so He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He has a will. George read earlier some scriptures from 1 Corinthians 12, and it mentions how the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts as He wills. You know, He has a will. He's a person who has a will, and He says, hey, this person, here's a gift for you. Here's a gift for you. Here's a gift for you. So He has a will. The next scripture, He guides. Let me read it. The script, when the Spirit of truth comes, like He calls Him here, the Spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit has different names in the Bible, which I'm not going to go over today. Just like Jesus has many different names that kind of reveal facets of His nature or His character, like the Lamb of God or the door or the bread from heaven. Different names that identify some aspect of His life. And the Holy Spirit here is called the Spirit of truth. I love that when the Holy Spirit's working, He's always speaking the truth. Always. Never lies. But when He comes, He. See how it has that pronoun there? He. Not it. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority. Whatever He hears, He will speak. He will declare to you things that are to come. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He guides us. He teaches us. He even reveals things about the future. How many of you know it's nice to have someone like that in your life? And I'm glad to know that He is a person, not a force, not an it, but a person who lives inside of us and has this relationship. Next slide. I just want to show you a couple of scriptures here that show you these are like attributes of God. Only God has these attributes. One is being omnipresent. That's a fancy word that just means God is everywhere. And so it says in Psalm 139, where shall I go from your spirit? Can anybody find a place in the universe that you can go and get away from the Holy Spirit? No, because He's everywhere. Now, you might think, well, how does the Holy Spirit be everywhere if He's a person? Don't ask me that question. All I know is this is what the Bible reveals. He's everywhere. Where can I go from your spirit? You know, if we understood every little minute detail about God, guess what? He wouldn't be God. So, yeah, there's certain things like this that seem to not make sense to our mind. But how many of you know our minds are not perfect? We don't have perfect knowledge or perfect wisdom. We're still learning and grasping and trying to understand. But He says, where shall I go from your spirit? Where will I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. So He's everywhere. You can't escape from the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that is an attribute that only God has. He's eternal. Hebrews 9:14, it talks about Christ who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God. God is eternal. Nobody else is. No other creature in this universe is eternal, but God is. And now here he talks about the eternal Spirit. And then finally in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, next slide, please. I just want to read that with you. I don't have it on my notes there, but how many of you remember the story in the Bible where Ananias and Sapphira came and told a lie in church? And what happened? They dropped over dead. Remember that? But look at what Peter said. Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to?" And you can't see it there because I got it in the wrong color, but "Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit." That's what he said to him. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. So see, he says lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God. So it's clear that the Bible shows the Holy Spirit is God. He's one person in the Trinity. So again, I'm not going to delve much deeper than that today. I just wanted you to know those two things as a brief introduction, that he is a person and he's God. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit in the weeks to come, that's who we're talking about. A person of the Trinity, a person of the Godhead who has feelings, has a will, has knowledge, who speaks, who directs, who guides, who lives in us, who is everywhere, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal. That's the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to start today on Genesis 1. It says here, Genesis 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Think about this. You have this eternal God who stepped into time, or created time, actually. And what he made there was a place for God and man to be together. That's really what this is about. He created the heavens and the earth. What's the earth for? The Bible says, I think it's in Jeremiah, the earth wasn't created not to be inhabited. It was made to be a place where God could fellowship with people. God didn't need us. He already existed in community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but he desired to create this human race to have a relationship with them. And that's what the earth is about. I love that the Bible talks about the heavens. When you think about the heavens, you're talking about galaxies and stars and the Milky Way and just black holes and all the other things that they're discovering up there. He made the heavens and the earth. I mean, how many know the earth is also in the heavens? But he kind of sets it apart like this special place because God was going to come and be with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So he was creating this place to fellowship with people. That's what God desires. A place to be with us. He loves us that much. And so in the beginning, God created this place, a place where his presence could be available to human beings. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So this is the very first time in the Bible the Holy Spirit's mentioned. He's there in the beginning. I mean, this is kind of one indication that he's eternal because he was there before anything was created. He was there, hovering. This is an interesting word, which I'm not going to get into today, but basically the Holy Spirit's there moving. He's involved in creation. I don't understand the whole dynamic between what was the Father's involvement. Jesus was also the creator, but the Holy Spirit was there somehow involved in this, being an agent of the creation, hovering over the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and so forth. And the creation took place. So the Holy Spirit was involved at the very beginning, helping to create this place for God and man to dwell together, heaven and earth, and all that entails. And then we go to the last book of the Bible. This is the last place in the scripture the Holy Spirit's mentioned. When I began to think about this, they're more like bookends. Like, here's the Holy Spirit, the introduction to him, Genesis 1:1. The Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the water. And then we see, how does he end? How does the discussion of the Holy Spirit end in the Bible? And it's found here in Revelation 22:17. And it's up on the screen there. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's the last time the Holy Spirit's mentioned. The Spirit and the bride. Well, the bride speaks of the church. And you see at the very end of time, God is bringing in this new heaven and new earth. You see what's happening? The Holy Spirit is joined together with the bride. And they're saying, come. Who are they saying it to? Well, maybe they're saying it to Jesus, because Jesus talked in there about, I'm going to come quickly. But I think when you read this context here, he's calling people to come. He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And the one who desires take the water of life without price. You know, what's happening is that Holy Spirit, who was involved in the beginning, creating this place of fellowship with God and man, is now extremely involved in calling people into that place. I mean, if you think about the mission of the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in the church and in the world and in our lives, he is calling us, come to this place. He created a place where God could be with us and have this eternal relationship. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit now. So I kind of see, I've made this definition up. It's not a theological definition by any means. And I know it's being overly simplistic. But what I say about the Holy Spirit based on these two scriptures, and I think you'll see it bear out as we go through the rest of these weeks, that the Holy Spirit, I don't want to say his only role, but a major role of the Holy Spirit is to create a place for fellowship between God and man, and calling people to come and experience it. You know, we lost that place in sin when we sinned in Adam and Eve, and all of us have continued to sin since then. God, what God designed to be that place of fellowship and communion, we lost it. Now the whole work of redemption is really calling people to come back to this place that I desired, planned, provided for you. Come back. And so that's what we see the Holy Spirit at the very end. Come. The Spirit and the bride. It's the Holy Spirit linked arm in arm with his church, saying, come, come. There's room. Come, let the house be full. Keep coming. And then those who hear, they start saying, come. It's like they've experienced something, and they're saying also, come. And everybody who's thirsty, come. And there's this heart within the Spirit of God to draw people into the very thing he created at the beginning, to be in fellowship with him. Now, as you read through the scripture and study the Holy Spirit, I think you can find almost every place the Holy Spirit's mentioned one of these elements of the Holy Spirit either creating this environment for the presence of God, for this relationship with God, or calling people into it. Those who've rejected him, those who've turned aside, he's calling them to come. It's a beautiful thing. And I love the idea that he stuck it kind of like bookends, one at the very beginning of the scripture and one at the very end. So today, I want to talk just briefly for a few moments here on some examples of this creative role of the Holy Spirit. Because not only did he create the heavens and the earth, or was he involved in that, but he continues to create this moving of the Spirit of God upon the water. He still moves. The Spirit of God is called breath. It's a Hebrew word called, listen to this, ruach. And it just means breath or wind. And it has this idea of movement and giving life. It's just, it's the Spirit of God. He's creative. He still creates. So one of those ways is found in 2 Peter 1. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. See, how did we get the Word of God? How did we get prophecy? It was created by the Holy Spirit. See, it didn't come from the will of man. It's not like Isaiah got up one day and said, you know what? I'm going to say these things for God. It's like he was just living Isaiah's life, and the Holy Spirit came and hovered over him, and whatever he did breathed into him. But he birthed, he created this thing inside of him that he spoke out, and it became the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is God-breathed. All Scripture is given by the inspiration or the breath of God. And so when you think about the Bible as being something the Holy Spirit created, how awesome is that? Think about your own life for a minute. How many of you have actually had something in your life transformed just because of something you read here? Can I see your hand? Hold it up high. Look around. You know what that was? That was the creative role of the Holy Spirit. What's he doing? He's calling you into fellowship with God. He's changing you, turning your heart, turning your attitudes. You know, I mean, if you guys were to sit down and just write on a list all the ways God has changed you, it's the creative role and nature of the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful thing. I can't tell you how many times the Word of God has had just an impact on my life, changing something or bringing about some kind of repentance, you know, a change in your life. Say, hey, Lord, I just want to follow after you. But that's the creative work of the Holy Spirit. It's not my intellect. It's not because I'm a good student. None of that. It's this Holy Spirit who's created a place for me to have fellowship with Jesus, and he's calling me to it. You know, I want to be with Jesus, but it's because there's something the Holy Spirit's done in my life. He created something. What's really interesting about these verses here, that verse right there, you see the word ever produced up there? Produced. The word produced and the word carried along down here. They're both the same word in the Greek language. And you know what the word is? It's the same word that's used when it says the Holy Spirit came like a rushing mighty wind. The word rushing. This idea that it wasn't produced by man. Never came out by the will of man. It was produced by the Holy Spirit. Like this rushing wind. Something came into the heart of these people as they spoke, and it was the creation of God's word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It was God breathed. How about John 3, verse 5? Jesus is talking to a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is interested in Jesus. He's not a follower, but he's curious. And he comes to Jesus one night, and he's talking about the things of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said these words to him, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." See, how do you get into the kingdom of God? It's a miracle of creation. It has to be a creation. You don't get there by intellect. You don't get there by doing good works. You don't get there by going to church. You get there because the Holy Spirit creates something inside of you. He made a place for us to have this fellowship with God. And now he's working within us to bring us to a place where we can. Jesus said you cannot come into the kingdom of God unless you are born of the Spirit. And then he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. How many here have been born of the flesh? Every hand should be up. But see, that which is flesh, but that which is spirit is spirit. It's a birth. It is a birth, but it's a spiritual one. It's invisible. You can't look at somebody and say, oh, that guy's born again or not. It's something that happens inside of you, but it is a very real thing. It's a creation. You can't make it happen. It's a responding to the truth of God, what Jesus did when he died on the cross, and you responding to that, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and creates something. It's a miracle. If that's never happened to you, I would love to talk to you after the church service today, because unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. And you can see here that it is the work of the Holy Spirit that enables a person to have that relationship with the kingdom and to have eternal life. It is his creative work inside of a believer. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's a famous scripture we quote often. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. It's a creation. How? By the Holy Spirit. Born of the Spirit. New life. Something that you weren't 5 minutes ago, you are now. I remember the day I was born again. I was sitting in a church. I heard somebody preaching from the Bible. I couldn't even today tell you what he was talking about. All I knew was, he's hitting me. I'm hearing everything he's saying. At the end of the service, he asked for people to come up and receive Jesus. I had no idea what he was even talking about. I had no reference to understand the terminology. All I knew was the Holy Spirit was calling me. And I'm sitting there with my wife, and we're sitting back there saying, Ruth, he's talking about us. And she goes, yeah, I know it. What was happening there? The Holy Spirit was saying, hey, it's your time. It's your time. And we didn't know what we were doing, honestly. All we did was we walked up to the front. Somebody told us about Jesus dying on a cross for us. And we said, yeah, we want to follow him. And I'm telling you, a miracle happened. Instantaneously, I was a new creation. And she was. Everything changed. We were talking about it last night. We were sharing our testimony. It was kind of, how many ever saw The Wizard of Oz when everything was black and white, and then when she came out of the house, everything was in color? I mean, it was literally like that. It's like we're walking around the streets, and it looked like we were in kind of like Eastern Europe, you know, before the fall of the wall. Everything was dark and dusty and musty. And then we crossed over. Everything was like birds were chirping. There was, you know, rainbows in the sky. Everybody had a smile on their face. But what happened was the world didn't change. Something happened here. It was a miracle. The Holy Spirit created something. It wasn't there 5 minutes ago, and now it is. And my life has never been the same because He, the Holy Spirit, brought me to a place where I could have fellowship with God. He created the heavens and the earth, and now He's saying, come. The Spirit and the bride are saying, come, come, come. There's a place for you here. And I was born again, a new creation. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. These are the words of Jesus. He's telling his disciples he wants them to go into all the world and make disciples everywhere. But he said, don't go until you receive the Holy Spirit, because you can't do it on your own. I need to create something inside of you, something you don't have. You're a person without power. Now you have power. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came upon them. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is speaking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That is also part of the creative work of God in the life of a believer. We talk about how we need to see the power of God, and we need to see the power of God in this world. you know, signs and wonders and all the things that God wants to do to cause people to see how much he loves them and cares for them and how much he's calling them into that place of fellowship with him. But it's not in our own strength. We need to have something that's created by the Holy Spirit, him coming upon us in power to do his work. See, it's outside of myself. It's something he creates in us and through us. George read this earlier, 1 Corinthians 12. It mentions the gifts of the Spirit. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are not natural talents. They're not things that, you know, somebody who comes up here sometime and prophesies, it's not like they just sat down and figured out some flowery words to say. You know, it is the creation of the Holy Spirit. He's doing something. He's taking something that's outside of you and putting it in you. It's outside of you, in you now. And so here's how he describes it. To each. How many here is an each? Okay, so it's not just for a few, it's for each. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation just means it's hidden, now it's revealed. It was behind the curtain, now you see it. And so there is a way that the Holy Spirit desires to manifest himself. He's invisible. We don't see him, but he somehow takes the cover off. And one of the ways he does it is through spiritual gifts. We can see the manifestation of the Spirit in these various ways he mentions here. And so the manifestation of the Spirit is also for the common good. How many of you know that when a person is being used in a spiritual gift, it's not to build them up. It's not to make them like some great one. It's for the common good. It's to build up the church, the people. For to one is given through the Spirit. The Spirit gives this. He's the one who, and I think of this as a creative thing. It's like if you have a gift of prophecy, it's not because you went to school and studied for it. I'm going to go to college. What are you majoring in? Prophecy. No. The gift of prophecy is created by the Holy Spirit. It's given to you by him. He chooses. He says, hey, you know what? I think I want to use you in this gift. And here it is. And so it's given through the Spirit. The utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. I'm not going to detail these today. We'll talk about them at another time. But just to show you that the gifts of the Spirit are all given through the Holy Spirit. He gives them. And then finally, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there's no law. You know, we're not living under the law anymore as a follower of Jesus. You know that. We're not trying to keep the law. We've been set free from the law. We're now under grace, but we're now also under this law of the Spirit. And I can be under the law over here and try to really work to be a good person. I just want to force myself to love my neighbor. Or I can be over here under the Spirit of life and let the fruit of the Spirit be created. We can't create fruit. Anybody here ever created an apple before? How about a pea? Something really small. How about a mustard seed? That comes from the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, as the Holy Spirit is calling us to come, he's also changing us through the miracle of his word. And all these things he's working in us. And all of a sudden, you start finding this love. It's coming from somewhere. It's not like you had to force yourself. What's happening there? The Holy Spirit's creating something inside of you. It's fruit. It's fruit that is evidence of something inside. If you look at any tree, you can tell what it is by its fruit. That's an apple tree. It's an orange tree. Well, what is it that people see when they look at us? You know, it should be these things. Why? Because he lives in us. He is perfect love. He's perfect peace. I mean, look at Jesus laying in the boat sleeping when they're in the middle of a storm. Perfect peace. Joy. Not happiness, joy. Patience, long-suffering, kindness. These are things that just, they should just grow out of our life. It's not like we have to get down and say, Lord, please give me more love. Please give me more patience. I mean, you can pray for those things, but they grow. They just grow because the Holy Spirit's inside of you. It should just be a natural outflow, a created thing that happens because He is here. He's here. So I'd like you to stand with me. These are just some examples of the creative work of the Holy Spirit. And what I want you to go away with today is just a few things. One is the Holy Spirit is really a person. He's a person. He's God. So don't think of Him as a force. He's a person. And He wants to have that relationship. I'm not forcing you to think this way, but I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit this way. He created a place. I mean, think about that. Out of nowhere, before time, God just steps out of this eternity. He says, you know what? I'm going to create the heavens and the earth. And I'm going to be there with people. Jesus came to the earth to die. You know what I mean? It's the earth. It's a place. It's a place. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. I understand all that. But it was the creation of a place for God to have fellowship with man. And now in the end, He's saying the Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. I hope that's the call of your heart. I hope you have the heart of the Bride and you're linking arms with Jesus and you're crying out, come, come, come. There's a place, there's a room. He wants you to come into this fellowship. That's what the Spirit is saying in these days. We always want to know, what's the Holy Spirit saying in these days? Come. That's what He's saying. And we have these examples of the work of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll think and consider how powerful the Word of God has been in your life. You know, that's because it has the creative nature of the Holy Spirit that made it and that works through it in our lives. Think about how awesome it was to be born again. You didn't just become a religious person or start going to church. You were a new creation. Think about the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, think about this wonderful gift that God gave you outside of yourself to enable you to do His work. Think about the gifts of the Spirit that are given to each of us. And stir them up again. Stir them up and say, Lord, use me. You gave it to me. It's a gift from You. Stir it up in me. And then finally, this wonderful list of things, maybe it's not even comprehensive, but this list of characteristics which are the fruit of the Spirit. He creates it inside of us. And I pray that all of us would rejoice in that work that He's doing, and it would really draw us closer and closer to our relationship with the Lord. But it would also burden our hearts as the Bride to say, come. We would continually call others to come back into that relationship.